think we've got everything turned on this morning, everything the way it's supposed to be. I wanted to take a little time with that, with the mic there, because I remember the last time I was here, I opened it up and tried to turn the batteries on, or turn it on, the batteries fell out, so that'd be awkward. A little awkward moment of silence is better than trying to pick up batteries off the floor, isn't it? Well, I tell you, it sure is good to be here with you this morning. I'm actually more excited than nervous. I think sometimes I'm more nervous than excited, but I trust in what the Lord has given me this morning, and that's what it's all about. You know, when you look at God's Word and you study it out and you find something that helps you, then you want to help somebody else with it. You want to share it with somebody else. It is that good. It is that worth sharing, and you want to help other people. And as I was preparing for this, I studied this out. I guess it was sometime last year, and it really blessed my heart, and it helped me, and it just helped me grow closer to the Lord. That's what this is about. There's people here this morning that are lost. I believe that with all my heart. You need a Savior. Let me just say this. There's no hidden agenda this morning. The idea is to convert you. There's no secret. What did Jesus do? He came to this earth to seek and to save that which was lost. He told us that. There's no hidden agenda. If you're here this morning, you're lost, you need a Savior. You might be here this morning and you might not be whole. And that's something that we really need to look at and consider. You know, as we face life and we face things, it's important that we understand what we're facing and how to go the right way about doing that. One thing that was said during Sunday school that I wanted to mention this, I really appreciate it. Brother Mike talking about your gift, and everybody does have a gift. Every one of you sitting here today, God gave you a gift. And when I was young, sitting in the choir, I thought or wanted my gift to be singing. I sit in between two fellas, and they could sing. Brother Bill Phillips, Brother Dean Ward, and they could sing bass. I thought, man, if I could sing bass like them, Lord, I'd just do it all the time. That's what I'd do. And then I got in the car by myself without those two beside of me and actually heard what I sounded like. And you're like, Brother Karen, that's not my gift. You'll know pretty quick sometimes if it's your gift or not. But I tell you, there is a joy in seeking out what your gift is. And then when you surrender that gift to the Lord and you give it to Him and see what He does with it, that's what this life is all about. That's our contribution. That's what we do. That's our fulfillment. But I want us to look at a few things this morning on how to get there. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians 15. I want to look at verses 40 through 50. There's a few places that I do intend to go this morning for us to read, because when you look at different doctrine teachings, you'll find it in different places in the Bible. My goal and my mission again this morning is to give you as much of this as I can so you can see the whole picture. I know in John 5:6, Jesus asked the question to this fellow. I think he was about had an illness or an ailment for about 30, 38 years maybe, and Jesus asked him, "Wilt thou be made whole? Wilt thou be made whole?" He had an ailment and a situation that needed correcting. You and I this morning, as humans, we have some situations that need correcting in our life. When we look at our flesh, how many of you have studied out the atoms? Atom 1 and Atom 2. Have you ever studied that out? Sometime last year, the Lord laid it on my heart to study that out and see how important that second Adam is. Why it had to be him. Why couldn't there be salvation in any other name? You need to know the answer to that question. You need to know why. Why Jesus? Why him? Why the second Adam? And you ever think about the physical life and the spiritual life and how those come together? I asked Brandy yesterday, I believe it was, or one day this week, if we had a couple of hula hoops in the house or around or anything like that. And of course, we didn't. But I want us to give us an illustration so you can kind of see what I'm talking about. There's the celestial life, there's the terrestrial life, but those two intermingle and they come together. And at the middle of that circle, if you took two hula hoops and you put them together, you'll see that little piece in the middle. And that is the soul of man. I want us to see that and understand that. You know, God created us to commune with Him. There's a peace there that should desire and wants to desire to commune with God. We see in the beginning how that was created and how it came together. It was that way. But after the fall of man, that had to be corrected. That's where we need to see that Adam number two. I hope and pray. Let's pray. I'll read this morning. We'll pray. Just pray that the Lord have his way. If you're here this morning and you're lost, please pay attention. This is for you. If you're here this morning, please pay attention. It's for you. Reaffirm that appreciation of Jesus this morning. That's what this is all about. This life truly is all for him. That's what this life is about. But we're, again, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to read verses 40 through 50 to get us started talking about the difference of celestial life and terrestrial life so we can see the doctrine and how the Bible directly teaches that. You know, it would be easy sometimes if maybe in school you're trying to figure a lot of things out. Evolution and things like that that are man-made and brought out and everything. But if you want to see how you came to be this morning and how you interact with God, this is how you're going to see it, straight from the Bible. It says here, there are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. It's saying here, the magnificence, that glory, the magnificence of one is one thing. If you think about the spiritual life and what it looks like, the spiritual realm and world, it's a magnificent thing. You look at the human body and how God created it. It's a magnificent thing. It's amazing how what God put together. And there's one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon. How we can look at the sun during the day and appreciate it, and the moon have such another a meaning at night for us. And another glory of the stars. One star differeth from another star in glory. We're all different this morning. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, what you and I see here today. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit that this was not first which is spiritual, that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is out of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy, and as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we born the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day, this time that you've given to us, this beautiful weather outside, Lord. Even though it's cold out there, God, it's just a beautiful day to see that sunshine out there. God, I just thank you so much for being here today, all that are here with us today. God, we just ask and pray that all hearts, all minds be clear today, be receptive to your word. Lord, what you've prepared, what you've shown in your word, God, I just pray that be illuminated in our hearts and minds. Lord, those that are here lost, God, I pray that you convict them. Lord, that's what this life is all about, being in preparation of the next life to come. God, I pray you speak to them, speak to hearts. Lord, those that are seeking things in their lives, Lord, different situation, the child of God, Lord, that is facing trials and just troubles, God, I just pray that you speak to them this morning. Show them who you are, Lord, in our lives, why it had to be Jesus, why it has to be you, and why the second Adam is so important, and how all these things come together. God, I just commend it all into your hands. We leave it with you, Lord. I pray that you keep a hedge around us, keep us protected. Ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. When we see this here this morning, I want us to understand how these things come together. Again, I wish I had an illustration to show you and to see it visually this morning. But you see the spirit, this side here, the spirit world is an eternal world. It would be something if we could look into that world today and see what that looks like. I know we can feel it in our hearts. We experience things in our lives when the Lord moves upon us and we experience things that way. You can feel that and see that. But until a person is saved, they don't have that aspect just yet. But you see this side here, the spiritual side. But what we see in this world is the physical side of things, the terrestrial side of things, to use the Bible word. We see it on this side. This is a temporal thing. This is the temporal side of life. That's the way the Lord created us. But when you see that come together, the soul of man right there in the middle, that is eternal. It will spend eternity somewhere. You need to know that and need to understand that this morning. And what we're going to see is how the Lord created man at the beginning. You know, man was created a three-thirds being. He was a complete being at the beginning. You and I haven't seen that. We weren't here at that time. But that is exactly how mankind was created. We look at 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 and verse 23. And it says, "The very God of peace sanctify you wholly." That's what Paul's saying here. "And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." And that is talking about the rapture. But you see how he speaks to it here. We say a lot of times, I think I've heard people say mind, body, and soul. But this is the way the Lord looks at it. This is the way the Bible looks at us. The spirit, and then also the soul and the body. The body is the terrestrial piece. The soul is the container for the spirit. And then you have the spirit. Now I want us to look at something. If you go back in Genesis chapter number, actually just turn to Genesis chapter number 3, but I want to read a couple of verses while you're turning there. You say, "Preacher, are you saying, am I getting this right, that Adam was created whole, a three-thirds being?" Yes. That's what I'm saying this morning. I want us to see that. How could mankind have fallen from something that wasn't perfect? There was a fall that took place. And I want us to see this doctrinally this morning. Genesis 1, 26 through 27. You just stay there in Genesis 3. We'll read a little bit there. But Genesis 1, 26 and 27, it says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness." He's talking about his perfectness is what God is talking about here. The Lord, the Son, the Holy Spirit together. You see the Trinity there together. And so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. I like how that rhymes, so you can read that and understand that a little better. God created man in his own image. He was perfect. That's exactly how he created. This terrestrial life was set up to be a perfect life here with commune abilities to God with him in heaven. That's how this was designed, but something took place. But we also see here Genesis 2:7, "And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground," out of the earth, terrestrial. "And he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." He was a three-thirds being at that time. He was perfect. He had the Spirit of God breathe into him. He was a perfect being. Now you say, well, how did that happen? How did things change? What took place? You know, God instilled in man, in you and I, in man, the ability to choose. Now, why did he do that? Why would a perfect God create a being that could choose to accept him or not? Did you know that for us, for you and I to praise God the way that he deserves praising, it has to be done by our choice, not by him forcing us to do it? It doesn't work that way. I can't force Brandy to love me. Matter of fact, that would have a counter effect on her. If I said you have to, or I'm going to give an ultimatum there, it's by choice. You know, when you look at it this way, God created a perfect being with the ability to choose. All he had to do was listen to God. All he had to do was exactly what God told him to do, and he's going to be okay. When you look back in the Garden of Eden, there wasn't so many rules to follow. Do these things, but don't do this. It didn't take long at the beginning of time that a fallen angel came around and he started causing trouble, did he? You kind of see how the world and the devil works in our lives. But I want us to see he was a living soul there in Genesis 2:7. Now you get to Genesis 3:1. Something happened. This is the fall of mankind. Let's read that. I know that is probably common to a lot of people, but I want us to see the imperfectness of Adam number one. The imperfectness of Adam number one. Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 16. It says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" Right off the bat, he starts questioning God's word. Now I want to tell you something. If you are a new convert, Brother Norman, he touched on this just a little bit this morning. Why did I face hardships after salvation that I faced before? It's because you're still in this body of flesh. You're still in this body of the flesh. The devil wants to cause you trouble any way he can. He wants your mind. If you get your mind, the rest will follow. It truly will. And our young people, the reason I want to, and young converts, I want us to pay attention to this, is you do have a remedy for this. But this is how the devil works. He wants to confound you. He wants to confuse you. He wants to contort God's word. I see a lot of times people have questions in God's word and they get confused and frustrated and they put it aside. Don't do that. Follow the Lord. Pray and ask him to show you and help you to understand. Ask somebody and talk to somebody. Study God's word and he'll make it sure in your heart. You don't have to go around wondering what is going on. But he said here, "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." She knew the rules. She knew the commandments. She wasn't pleading ignorance. She knew exactly what God had told her to do. I think that is how it is with you and I today. We know what we're supposed to do, but we have a choice. And the serpent said unto the woman, "Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and that the tree desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Now you see this point here. What's the significance of that for us today? If you're here this morning and you've maybe been in different services or the Lord has been talking to you or dealing with you about being saved, then this is exactly what it's saying here. It's talking about the age of accountability when a person realizes that they're lost. Adam and Eve didn't know what that meant until this point. Wait a minute, something is not right here. I'm feeling something that I've never felt before and I don't know what this means. What do I do with this? And immediately they tried to start covering up their own sins. That's the worst thing you and I can do. Own it and know that you do need a Savior and there is a Savior. But see, that's what happened here. They knew they had messed up. The one commandment that was given to them, they broke a commandment there. And their eyes both were opened and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And as we go on down and we see what takes place here, verses 8 through 16, it says, "And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife and themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst of the trees of the garden. And the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou?" Boy, I tell you, has he ever done that to you? Has he ever called you out? Has he ever said, "Where are you? Where are you at?" Is he convicting your soul, convicting your heart? And he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told thee that thou were naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree thereof? I commanded thee thou shouldest not eat." And the man said, "The woman thou gavest to me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." And the Lord God said unto the woman, "What is this thou hast done?" And the woman said, "The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." And the Lord God said unto the serpent, "Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. In the belly thou shalt go, and the dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow, and in thy conception, in sorrow, thou shalt bring forth children, and desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And we see verse 17, and it said unto Adam, he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, and in sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. So we see this is exactly how mankind fell. We want to know where we begin in this life, where we see it. This is where we are today. This is how things change. This is where it began. This is the fall of mankind. When we see this change, what you're going to see after that is mankind became a two-thirds being after this act. Anytime there's sin, there is a penalty of sin. Sin does not just go unpunished or go unlooked after. If you will, look at Genesis 5:3. I just want to show you these verses to see where the difference takes place. Man became a two-thirds being. If you look at that in decimal numbers, that is the number 666. That's the number of man. And every person thereafter, Genesis chapter 5, verse 3, it says, and Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness. You see a difference there. In his own likeness. After his own image. You see, there is no more the three-thirds man. Now there's the creation. What you see thereafter is the two-thirds. That's how every single one of us are born. Thereafter. Missing something, missing a piece, needing something else. John 3:3, it says, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Something had to take place. Let's go back to Corinthians. I know I'm turning around a few different places, but I want us to see this. I think it's important that we have these things together. So you can go back and look at it. Study it. You see, 1 Corinthians 15:45, and it says, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, and the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. We look back at Matthew chapter number 4. Look into Matthew chapter number 4. I want us to see the difference of response that Jesus had when he was in the wilderness versus how it was with the first Adam. How you and I, we are a needy people. We need the Lord. I tell you, we can't do anything without the Lord. These verses, maybe I'm doing a poor job at relaying it, but let me tell you, the Lord, he knows what he's doing. I tell you, friends, church, you need the Lord. You need him in your life. When I see these verses, all I can see is how dependent I am on him. I can do nothing within myself. You can do nothing within yourself. We see how the importance of Jesus and why it has to be him. We see the Lord tempted. You know how you and I, or how Adam and Eve here, how they responded. We see that and saw that in Genesis, but now we see this second Adam and what happened with him. Matthew chapter number 4, verses 1 through 11. It said, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward anhungered. You know, I read that and I saw that there. You know, the devil knows exactly what your weak points are. He knows when you are at your weakness, and that is exactly when he wants to come in to your life. Now's my chance. Now's my chance to destroy them. Now's my chance to make them go astray. That's how he shows up. That's when he shows up. But now let's see how Jesus responded versus how Adam and Eve responded. That's what makes the difference. The glory of this is you can have the same response today. We're not in that situation that we were in before after the second Adam. I want us to understand that. Verse number 3, and when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, look at these first words that he wrote here. It is written. It is written. God gives us, the way Jesus responded here, he responds with the word of God. You and I today can respond with the Word of God. You can say, well, that was Jesus. Well, Jesus responded with the Word of God. You and I likewise have that same weapon. We have that same defense. We have that same ability this morning. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We know the devil, he's not going to leave well enough alone. The devil taketh him high up, or taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple. And he said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and their hands shall bear up thee up, lest any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written. Every time he comes back with the same response, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And the devil taketh him up into an exceedingly high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. I like this response here. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And what did Satan do? Then the devil leaveth him, and beheld, angels came and ministered unto him. He has no choice but to flee. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he shall flee from you. You know, there's a time that I look at things here, I think that people try sometimes to flee from the devil. We get that backwards. If he gets you on the run, that's not where you're supposed to be. You're supposed to stand on God's word. Young people, listen. You have a weapon. You have a choice. You have something to stand on. You don't have to run. You can stand on God's word. And what the devil has no choice but to flee. Put him to running. You stand your ground and put the devil to running away. We see that the Lord has given us these weapons here today. Let's go to Philippians chapter number 2. When I look at this and I think about my need in life, you know, there was you're born into a life that you cannot do for yourself. You needed somebody. You need somebody today that can do something for you that you cannot do for yourself. I tell you, the situations that you face in life, there's been a lot of hardships just right here in this church. Our communities in recent days and weeks and months, there's been a lot of things that people are facing. And I've heard so many people say, and even Brother Nathan, I've heard him say, I don't know how people do this without the Lord. I don't either. I know I need him this morning. I need him more and more every single day. But think about what Jesus did for us. Philippians chapter number 2, verses 5 through 11. You think about Jesus. He was tempted of the devil, but he resisted him. He caused the devil to flee from him. Adam and Eve, they got caught up and messed up. But look what the second Adam did for you and I. All God in the flesh came down to make a way for you and I. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being the form of God. Now you look back at where he was at when he saw man make the wrong decision. He's looking down on mankind, and he saw that, and he wanted to make a remedy. Who being the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, Jesus in the flesh, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Adam number 2, coming to this earth. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto the death, even the death of the cross. That's the gospel. That's what had to take place. There had to be a remedy, a once and for all remedy for sin. And Jesus said, I will do that. I will put myself in the same flesh that they're in, and I will go in their place. That's what he said. You know, that's the beautiful thing about Jesus. You go to him. I don't care what you're facing this morning. You go to him. He knows how you feel. I may or may not. I may sympathize with you on some things, or I might be able to empathize with you on some things. But God knows. He knows. He knows exactly what you're going through and exactly what you're facing. And he said, I know these people need a Savior. And they're going to need somebody to walk with them every day after that also. They're going to need somebody. He said, I will go do that. I will put myself in their flesh and I will fulfill this for them. He did something for you and I that we couldn't do for ourselves. That's love. That's love. You know, he could have wiped the slate clean, but he didn't. He made a way. He made a way for you and I. That's powerful to me this morning. I know that many people here are seeking something. He has the way. He has that way. He has that answer. And he came down in likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name above every name, that at the name Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth. All things. That's where you see that tie, that celestial life, that spiritual life, and that terrestrial life that we see. All things. And that every tongue should confess Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory and God of the Father. Every name, every person will kneel and bow to that name. Do you understand that? Do you know that name this morning? Do you understand the importance of that name? Do you understand the importance of Jesus and why it has to be him and it can be no one else? I'll go to one more place this morning. Let's go to Hebrews chapter number 2. We have a way to be whole again. All because of the Lord. I tell you, the things we see, what we see back in Corinthians, we've not seen it how it's going to be just yet. That new life, that new body that we're going to receive. We see what we have in this day and time. Hebrews chapter number 2, verses 5 through 18. It says here, For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come whereof we speak. It's not unto subjection to this world or to the celestial world. It's not unto the angels. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest with him? Well, I tell you, that speaks volumes to my heart how much the Lord loves us. What is man to God? You look down and you think about how God will look down on this earth and see us, but that's what he sees, his love toward us, how much he loves us, that thou visitest him. Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all things in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. God did that for you and I. Taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by him are all things, bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, which calls he is not ashamed to call them brethren. It's you and I. Saying, I will declare thy name unto the brethren, and in the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. It's a declaration that's being made. For as much then as the children are partakers of the flesh and the blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that hath power of death, that is the devil. He came once and for all to destroy that. A man in the flesh came to destroy that for you and I. It wasn't just that he was God, but he was all God and all man. That's Jesus. That's who he is this morning. Do you know him? Do you know him? Do you see the importance of him? And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. He set us free. I was young when I was saved. I was 12 years old. But I old enough to understand what it was like before and then seeing what life was like after. And I remember being seeking and wanting and understanding, getting to the point that I understood that I needed a Savior, but I didn't understand all the whys. I didn't understand why it had to be Jesus. I didn't understand all the things. These verses describe that to us here today. These verses explain that to us. I remember it seemed like just everything was dark when I looked back at that time, but everything became clear after the Lord saved my soul. Why? Anybody else here, would they agree with that? Was the light off and then the light on? Well, that's because you went from a 2/3 to a 3/3. That middle piece that was empty, that vessel that was empty, now had the Holy Spirit in it. Do you trust that Spirit? I'm telling you, do we follow it or do we still try to follow ourselves? But you see the difference that is being made here. This is what He did for us. And it says here, verse 15, and deliver them who were through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. You have a way to be out of that bondage is what I'm telling you this morning. For verily He took not on Him the nature of angels, but He took on Him the seed of Abraham. He could have took on that celestial body, but He didn't. He said, no, I'm going to be just like them. I'm going to take on what they're going through. I'm going to defeat the flesh for them because they cannot do it. Wherefore, in all things it behooved Him to be made into be made like unto His brethren. You imagine having the power that Jesus had, that God had, and being willing to be put that in a human body just to prove that He could do that for you and I. That amazes me. That speaks to me that He loved me that much that He would do that for me. He made like unto His brethren that He might be a merciful and a faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. I like this verse 18. It says, for in that He Himself hath suffered being tempted, what we saw there in Matthew 11, He suffered those things for you and I. He suffered the cross for you and I, and He fulfilled it. He is able to secure them that are tempted. Now, I like the word secure. I had to look that up, Brother Dale, to see what that means. That word right there means to run to support, and to deliver. You and I have someone to deliver us. He did all those things just so He could deliver us, not just in salvation, but also our life thereafter. That's a loving God. That's what Adam number 2 did for you and I. If you will, stand with me this morning. I'll ask Brother Nathan, if you will, to get us a song.